Father, we thank you for your word as we come before you. We ask your blessing on it. Lord, we pray that you would reveal to us the things you want us to learn in and through it. And God, we just give you the glory that's due your holy name, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to take our teaching out of Ephesians 5, verses 18 to 20. I titled the message, The Fullness of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul is going to deal with the relationships of life, and he's going to show how life in Christ can bring a little heaven to your home. Charles Spurgeon said, "When home is ruled according to God's word, angels might be asked to stay with us, and they would not find themselves out of their element." I love that. The trouble is many homes aren't governed by God's word. Even homes where the family claims to be professing Christians, the consequences are literally off the scale. Instead of angels being guests in some homes, it almost seems that demons actually rule there. Too many marriages end in divorce court. I mean, nobody really knows how many husbands and wives are emotionally divorced, even though they live under the same roof. We hear of too many homes being an outpost of hell instead of a place of paradise and refuge. One time Charles Spurgeon said to his students, "When you talk about heaven, let your face light up with a heavenly glory. When you talk about hell, your everyday face will do." Isn't that true? So the apostle tells us the only answer is the Holy Spirit. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can walk in harmony as husbands and wives, as parents and children, as employers and employees. The unity of God's people that Paul explained in Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 16. I encourage you to read that, Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 16. It has to be a part of our daily living if we want to experience or enjoy any harmony in this life. Paul the Apostle begins in verse 18, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." The command is plural. It applies to all Christians, and not just certain individuals in the body of Christ that make up the church. It's speaking in the present tense, meaning keep on being filled. Keep on being filled. Paul is saying it's an experience we should constantly be enjoying. Not just when we come to church or when we're around other Christians. Continually. The word fill has nothing to do with contents or quantity. In the Bible, to be filled means controlled by. Let me give you a couple of examples. In Luke chapter 4, verse 28, "So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath." Well, Jesus was nailing them, and they were filled with wrath. That literally means they were controlled by wrath. I mean, in that wrath, they tried to kill Jesus. In Acts 13:45, we read, "But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. And contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul." The Jews were filled with envy, which, again, literally means they were controlled by envy. Because of that envy, they came against the ministry of Paul and Barnabas. You see, to be filled with the Spirit means to be constantly controlled by the Spirit in our mind, our emotions, and our will. Mind, emotions, and will. When we trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, we were immediately baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ 1 Corinthians 12:13. This baptism is a once and for all experience. It takes place at conversion when we're saved, when we become a born again believer in Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, there in Acts chapter 2, the believers were baptized by the Spirit, which again was the beginning of the formation of the body of Christ. But they were also filled with the Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. This filling gave them the power they needed to witness for Christ. Jesus had said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." In Acts chapter 2, the Jewish believers were baptized by the Spirit. In Acts chapter 10, the Gentile believers had the same experience, forming the body of Christ. Born-again believing Jews and Gentiles making up the body of Christ, the church. Now, let me say this. Nowhere do we find scripture teaching that this baptism was ever repeated. It's a one-time baptism. Baptism is made personal when you put your faith and trust in Christ. That's when the Holy Spirit enters in to make you a body of Christ. So we have the baptism of the Spirit, which means I belong to Christ's body. I am now His God's Son. And we have the filling of the Spirit, which means my body belongs to Christ. The Holy Spirit is living inside of me. I've been bought with a price that Christ paid. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know you need the power of the Holy Spirit to be an effective witness for Christ. I mean, we have the accounts of the apostles experiencing repeated fillings after that first experience at Pentecost. Well, Paul experienced this filling and he relates it to the Spirit's fullness that's also needed in the home. If our homes are to be a heaven on earth, each one of us has to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Well, this brings up the question, how can a person tell whether or not he or she is filled with the Spirit? The first evidence of the fullness of the Spirit is joyful. Verse 19. Paul goes on, he said, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. According to Galatians 5:22, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Having joy is not something that causes our emotions to go up and then fall like a thermometer when circumstances and things change. Having joy as a Christian means you know what you're experiencing. You know what you're experiencing. God will deal with and through it. You're going to stay cool, collective, and confident in spite of the circumstances around you. I mean, you can even have joy in the midst of pain and suffering. The Apostle Paul is saying this kind of joy is not a thermometer. It's a thermostat. A thermometer can rise and fall with the circumstances, but a thermostat determines the spiritual temperature of the circumstance. You see the difference here? When you're being led by God's Spirit, you're letting God be in control. The thermostat is being controlled. I love the way Paul put it in Philippians 4:11. He said, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned. That's the key. I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. To illustrate this joy, He used a picture of drunkenness in verse 18. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Right away, a bell went off in my head. I'm thinking of Acts chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. When the believers at Pentecost were filled with the Spirit, everyone accused them of what? Of being drunk with wine. You see, there was such a joy. The unbelievers that were witnessing this being filled with the Spirit, they could think of no other comparison other than, hey, they must be drunk with wine. We can learn some practical lessons from the two. To begin with, the drunk is under the control of another force. Alcohol is actually a depressant. He feels a sense of release because all his troubles are gone. The drunk's not ashamed to express himself, and he doesn't hide what's going on in his life. Now, on the other hand, look at this picture of the believer who is filled with the Spirit. God controls his life. And because God does, he experiences such a deep joy. He's not afraid to express himself to the glory of God. The drunk is out of control because the alcohol is affecting his brain. Where the believer? They experience self-control. That is literally God in control. God in control. Self-control is also a fruit of the Spirit. And besides that, 1 Corinthians 14:32, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. So what's that mean? Well, if you've ever been to a Pentecostal church, there's people running around. There's people rolling on the floors. I mean, they're dancing. They're doing all kinds of stuff during the worship service. And I've talked to people from Pentecostal churches, and they go, well, you know, when the Spirit gets moving like that, you can't control it. The Spirit's in control. But then Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14:32, and the spirits of the prophet, of the person, are subject to the person. In other words, you have the mind and the willpower to stop or to continue in what you want to say or do. You're in control. I can turn off the Holy Spirit in a heartbeat and let my flesh take over. I wish the Holy Spirit would just take over and that was it. Then I wouldn't be a sinner anymore, right? The drunk makes a fool of himself. Been there, did that movie. But the believer who is filled with the Spirit or operating in the Spirit glorifies God and is willing to be a fool for Christ's sake. The drunk calls attention to himself. The believer who is filled with the Spirit is a witness for Jesus Christ. It's not hard to live or work with someone who is filled with the Spirit. It's always a joy. It's always joyful. I mean, they seem to always have a song in their heart. I think of Psalm 42, verse 8. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I love that. In spite of pain and shame, Paul and Silas were able to sing praises to God when they were locked down in a jail cell in Philippi. I mean, many commentators said that they were literally chained to the wall. We read that in Acts chapter 16. Well, the result of them singing under those circumstances and having joy, the result was a conversion of the jailer and his entire family. Well, you know, one of many things I've learned in years 4+ decades of walking with the Lord. Christians who are filled with the Holy Spirit, number one, they enjoy hanging out together. Oh man, they enjoy hanging out together. Number two, they experience a sense of joyful oneness in the Lord. You ever get together with a bunch of believers and it's like you're a family, familia, you're a family. I love that. The second evidence of the fullness of the Spirit, thankfulness. Verse 20. Paul says, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's the question. Are we always giving thanks? Especially when it comes to our homes. Someone defined the home as the place where we are treated the best and complain the most. Whoever said that nailed it. They nailed it. Marriage counselors tell us taking each other for granted is one of the main causes of marital problems. I believe that to be true. Being thankful to God for each other is actually the secret of a happy home. But it's only through the Holy Spirit that we can really be thankful. It's by having a grateful heart. Because a grateful heart realizes that we are enriched because of others. I mean, that's a mark of humility. There are those who think the world owes them something. I run into those people all the time. It's people like that who are never thankful for anything. But those who have a thankful heart, they're usually humble. They're very humble. I mean, it's a heart that gladly acknowledges God in everything. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. At times, we are grateful for things. But what Paul is telling us is a secret of having joy. That's to be thankful for all things and at all times. Many know the scripture Philippians 4 verses 6 to 7. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. Let your prayer be made known to God. Notice what will happen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. That's why we need God's Spirit. In our own strength, we could never be this way. We could never be this way. I mean, it's hard to be thankful in times of pain and suffering, in times of frustration, in times of not knowing what to do. But keep this in mind. Paul was a prisoner when he wrote these words. And yet, the guy was thankful for what God was doing in him and for him. He was thankful. Here the guy's locked down in a cell. At times, he can't even receive a visitor, and yet, he still had his joy. That's operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's letting God totally control your life. When you find yourself in a tough situation, maybe as they say, between a rock and a hard place, do this. Begin to give thanks to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. It will keep your heart from complaining. It'll keep you from worrying. And it'll keep you from doing something that down the road will come back to bite you. That will hurt you in the long run. Don't ever give the enemy an opportunity to rip you off the joy of your salvation. When you start to complain, that's when the devil comes in. But when you change your attitude and begin to be thankful, the Holy Spirit then defeats the devil and brings glory to the Lord. And you know what happens? You'll experience peace, you'll experience joy, and you will experience thankfulness to God. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." I want to close with something Martin Lloyd-Jones said. He said, "We all tend to prescribe the answers to our prayers. We think God can come in only one way. But Scripture teaches us that God sometimes answers our prayers by allowing things to become much worse before they become better. He may sometimes do the opposite of what we anticipate. Yet it's a fundamental principle in the life and walk of faith that we must always be prepared for the unexpected when we are dealing with God. God knows what's best for us. And to have the fullness of the Spirit operating in our lives, letting God have total control, we're going to have that peace. We're going to be thankful and we are going to have joy. That's the key. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the things you continue to reveal to us in and through it. God, I pray for everyone that listens to this teaching, follows along, that you would bless them, that you would open up their hearts to understand what you are telling us in and through your word. And God, the application to let you have control of our lives. Father, we love you and we thank you for everything you've done, what you are doing, and what you're going to do throughout eternity with us. Go before us. Bless the rest of our time. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.